Wonderful blessing to be here this morning. We thank the Lord for a safe journey last night. I flew into Jackson and everything went real smooth, and I'm thankful for that. There's a lot of things we can be thankful for. Thank the Lord that we have this day, and thank the Lord for your presence. Thank the Lord for His tender mercies toward us, and thank the Lord for that prayer. You know, that's our lifeline to the Lord. That is very vital, praying. Praying always, every day, many times in the day, to thank the Lord for all His blessings. Certainly good to be here. Be your dear pastor, Brother James. Thank the Lord for him. We can thank the Lord for each other, our brothers and sisters in Christ. What would we do without one another? You know, in the world we live in, and all the things that are going on, and the confusion, and the chaos, and the trouble, it's just so good to have brothers and sisters like you that we can strengthen one another and encourage one another in a discouraging world that we live in. And we just need help from above. I hope the Lord will be merciful to me. You know, I need His help. And I covet your prayers this morning. Thank you for your prayers. This morning I have some scripture on my mind found in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. And I'll begin with verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. Now, this is a church that he didn't establish and that he had never been to, but that he had heard of their faith in the Lord. And he prays for them. You know, there's a lot of churches I had never been to, but I hear about them, and, you know, I pray for them that they may be strong and fortified in the faith, and that they might be blessed from above to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. But I want to focus our minds on verses 12 and 13 this morning, giving thanks unto the Father. In my little introduction, I said there's a lot of things we can give thanks for. But this is a particular thanksgiving that we can give thanks for. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father for what? Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. There's some key words I want to focus upon this morning. And one of those words is meet. M-E-E-T. The word meet. The word meet means to be fit or to be sufficient or to be appropriate or to be satisfactory. We think of the word meet when we look back in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and the Lord God had created all His creation and He had created Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. And then God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And this is the first surgery that was performed, that God opened his flesh and he took a rib out of Adam. And the Bible tells us that he made a woman to be his helpmeet for him. Now, God took a rib out of Adam and he made a woman. And she was fit. She was his helpmeet. She was sufficient. She was appropriate for Adam. Now, that's amazing, isn't it? That he took a rib and he made a woman. Now, anybody that doesn't know what a woman is nuts, aren't they? I mean, we got a lot of nuts out here in the world, but we know what a woman is. I have one at home, and she is my helpmeet. She's sufficient. She fits in. She's right for me. But God made this woman, and she is meat for Adam. She's his helpmeet. So therefore, we know that that was a miraculous thing, that God made Adam a helpmeet, that he would not be alone. And of course, we know the blessing she was to Adam. And there's other places that the word meet is used. You know, the Lord said that repentance is a thing that is meet or suitable. And of course, we know that if we are meet, then we are suitable, we are sufficient, and we are fitting. Now, I'm going to tell you some bad news this morning. That in our human nature and our depravity, we're not meet. We are unfit. We are unsuitable. We are undone. We are inappropriate. We are out of line with God in our human nature and depravity. Now, a lot of people don't like to hear about depravity. But we know that the Bible teaches that human beings by nature are depraved creatures. And of course, we know how that came about by the one man. Sin entered into the world and death by sin. So passed upon all men. Death passed upon all men. And that we inherited a sinful nature. The psalmist in Psalm 51 says that he was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we inherited in conception a wicked, depraved nature. And the Bible tells us also in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, the heart of man is wicked. Our heart in depravity, when we were in total depravity, was wicked. We were undone. We were unclean. In Job chapter 14, it says, he says that who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And then he answered it, and he said, not one. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? That is, when we are born in this world, we are unclean. We are undone. We are born in sin because we were conceived and inherited sin, and therefore the stream is polluted, and therefore we cannot come back to God. In Psalm chapter 14 and Psalm 53, the Bible says that God looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Now, we hear over and over again in the religious world that all man has to do is just get right with God, choose God, and by his believing or his choosing, he can elevate himself up in favor with God, and that God has given all men that proposition that if they'll just acknowledge God, then just believe in God, that their belief will elevate them and bring them out of that state that they are in. But the thing is that most of those people don't really believe that man is bad as the Bible says he is. But the Bible tells us that God looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand. So we know that he looked down to see if there any that did understand and seek God. And he says that they are all gone aside. Psalm 14 said they're all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, not no one. In Psalm 53 it says that they are all gone back. Well, whether they have gone back or aside, it's the same thing, isn't it? Or if they have all gone astray, it's the same thing. That man, in his depravity, cannot, by his own volition, come to God. The Lord Jesus said in John 6 that no man can come. Now, that's universal, isn't it? No man can come to me. Now here's the divine exception. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. No man can come of himself, by himself. He cannot come to God. Now, we're the only ones that really believe that, aren't we? We're the only ones that believe that in this world. A lot of God's children are taken away and believe that at the right moment, if you'll just choose God, then you can come to God. So we find in Isaiah, there's a lot of scriptures, and I'm going to get to the good stuff later. But anyway, in Psalm 64, or in Isaiah 64, it says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. All of our sins, all of our iniquities, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. So it's not by our righteousness that we are accepted before God. There is no man that doeth good, no, not one. But God, here's the exception here. But the Father has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, light is an interesting word in the Bible, isn't it? In the Gospel according to John chapter 1, you know, it says that John the Baptist came to bear witness of the light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. And that is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, there is a light, and Jesus is that light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, that's not talking about all human beings there, or all human beings would have the light. All human beings would be the light, wouldn't they? We find in the book of Ephesians that ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, you can't walk as children of light unless the light has been turned on. And the Lord has to light the spirit of man by His Spirit, because the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And so the Lord has to light the candle. The Lord, by His Spirit, has to light the candle. And when He lights the candle, He makes the person meet. That is, He makes the person fit. He makes the person suitable. He makes the person appropriate. He makes the person sufficient. So that's a wonderful blessing that in all of our lives, somewhere in our lives, that God has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, the inheritance. What is an inheritance? Is an inheritance that something that you can just get into by yourself? Well, an inheritance is something that is received because someone has put your name in their will, and when they die, they leave their possessions to you, and you are the heir. So we are an heir of an inheritance. Now, how we got into that inheritance is by God's divine and sovereign will. And He wrote our names in that will. That is, our persons are in that will. God knew you before that you ever existed. Now, that's amazing to me that He, in His omniscience, He knew all human beings, but in His special foreknowledge, He knew you. He knew you as a person. He knew you before you existed, but He knew your existence before you existed. I'll tell you what, that ought to give us thanks. That ought to make us be thankful unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be meet of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have an inheritance, and that inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And it's reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. Now, that inheritance, we have been predestinated unto that inheritance. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, it says again, in whom also you have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, in whom ye also have inherited. That means that we have inherited. Now, we haven't reached heaven yet, but it's just as good as God has promised that we will receive the fullness of that inheritance. And therefore, we have been blessed with a wonderful change in our hearts. And we have been made meet to receive and inherit that inheritance. And that inheritance, Peter says, is undefiled. You can't mess it up. He says that it's reserved for you in heaven. I'm glad it's reserved for you. And you didn't make the reservations. You didn't make the reservations. I made reservations before, but got the news that they were canceled. Well, I'm telling you, these reservations are not going to be canceled. These reservations, God's going to bring us by His work of grace, by His Spirit, in a vital union with Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm glad that I believe this morning, and have believed it for a long time, that God is the one that raises us up out of being dead in sin to living in Christ. Now that's being made meet, isn't it? There's people, you know, you hear them all the time. Preachers, I heard one the other day say, sinner, all you got to do, all you have to do is believe and you'll become a sheep. I thought, well, how ridiculous. Just believe and you'll become a sheep. Well, if a person has the ability to believe, they're already a sheep, right? I mean, if they can believe from their heart, and if they are conscious of God in their heart, they've already been made meet, suitable, fit for this inheritance of the saints in light. Light, righteousness, purity. You know, God in Him is no darkness. He is the light. And Jesus is the purest ray of the light of Almighty God our Father. Made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath delivered us? Now, here's a word. Who hath saved us or delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, who is the ruler in the power of darkness? Satan is the ruler, isn't he? He has dominion over darkness. He is darkness. And we are darkness in our depravity. We are darkness. But God has turned the light on in us. He has shined the light. God who came, commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. There is that divine eternal light that has shined in our hearts that made us the children of light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. He has taken us out of the dominion of darkness and put us into the dominion of eternal light. And we could not do that of ourselves. We didn't have anything to do with that. We were passive in that. God is active. So it is that we cannot cross that gulf. It's too big, too wide. What if I told you this morning, you just go to the Grand Canyon. I've not been there, but I've seen it in pictures and video and television. But what if I told you to go to the Grand Canyon and go to the edge and jump across? You'd say, you're nuts. You're crazy. You can't do that. But we got people out here in the world, preachers preaching, say, now, sinner, all you got to do is take the leap and you can get across. What else? Let's say you get to the edge and you back up and you start. You say, I can get across. I'm going to jump across. And you get about 5 feet out and whew, you go down. Say somebody else says, well, I can get across. I got more strength. And he maybe gets 10 feet. He goes down. Can't get across. We got to have somebody, and the only one that can get us across is Almighty God. He'll take us across the gulf. Therefore, it says that He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, in other words, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, there's different phases of the kingdom in the Word of God. You know, there's the eternal phase, there's the internal phase, and there is the external phase of the kingdom. Now, this phase of the kingdom is that we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Now, the word translated means that we are taken from one state to another state, or from one position to another position, or from one place to another place, right? Translated. We find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where that there was a man by the name of Enoch. You remember Enoch? The seventh from Adam, not the seventh man, but in his generation, the seventh from Adam, that it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He's translated that he should not see death. That is, he's not going to die physically. He's not going to die corporally because he's going to be translated. Now, by faith, Enoch was translated. Now, his faith did not translate him, but his faith had something to do with his translation, right? Now, it says that because God had translated him. God had translated him. And that before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We find in the book of Genesis that Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now, he lived upon this earth 365 years. But after he begat Methuselah, which was the longest liver upon this earth, 969 years, it says that Enoch walked with God. For he was not, for God took him. Can you imagine people looking for Enoch? You know, where'd Enoch go? Where is he? Well, he pleased God. Here's a man that had such unbreakable faith that God in His sovereignty chose to take him out of this world. Now, there's a lot of people that had faith back then. But here is a faith that was so pleasing to God. And here's a man that worshiped God and walked with God. He walked with God. Here was a man that was made righteous. Here was a man that God intervened in his life. And God said, I'm going to take him out of this world. I'm going to translate him. I'm going to take him from earth to heaven. I'm going to take him from mortality to immortality. I'm going to take him from the sphere of walking here in this world, and I'm going to take him into heaven with me. Now that was amazing. Translated. Well, you know, we have been translated. We have been translated. We have been taken from our dead state by the Spirit of God and translated into life, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. There's a lot of words that the Scripture tells us that God is active and that we are passive. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God." We have been translated. I don't know when that happened in my life. I don't know. You don't have to pinpoint it. You don't have to do that. But we have evidences that it has happened in our life in the past. If a person loves God, it is evident and it's positive proof that they have been translated, because God's love has been implanted within us. And our spirit has been raised from being dead in trespasses and in sin. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 1, and he said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." It's by grace ye are saved. Not by race, but by grace. I'm glad we believe the Bible. I'm glad that we believe that in every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people, there are heirs of promise that God will reach on schedule and on time. I believe that God has a schedule. And I believe that He reached every one of us on that schedule, on time. Now, we know that people are born of God, are quickened at different times in their life, don't we? We know that. You take Jeremiah. You know, I like Jeremiah. I like what the Lord told Jeremiah. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before that thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Now, the word "knew" there means an intimate relationship, doesn't it? The word "foreknown" in the Bible means an intimate knowledge or a love or the love of God that He has especially for His chosen. He chose us because He loved us. But He says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Now, we know how we got here, don't we? I mean, it's from mom and daddy, or it's from a male and female in conception. And you know, God told Adam and Eve to, you know, multiply and replenish the earth. And that's been going on ever since He gave that commandment, and that happened from one generation to another, and it will until the end of time. But we know that God is our creator. You know, He made us, didn't He? Every one of us is different in that sense. There's nobody like me upon this earth, thank God. And there's nobody like you. But God knew you before He formed you in the belly. And before Jeremiah came out, before he was born, God said, I sanctified thee. Now, there is a sanctification that is vital. A sanctification by the work of God in the heart. So He sanctified Jeremiah before that he came forth out of the womb. And of course, He ordained him also to be a prophet unto the nations. You say, well, God does that to certain individuals because He chooses to do so. And He did so with Jeremiah. What about John the Baptist? John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And we read about him leaping for joy in his mother's womb. Now, it is natural for a baby to move in their mother's womb. But it's supernatural for a baby to leap for joy. John the Baptist leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Aren't you glad you believe that? That God is able to reach. There's no age barrier. There's no race barrier. There is no geographical barrier in God reaching all of His people when they are in sin, when they're away from Him, that He translates them and makes them new creatures in Christ Jesus. Well, I know that we still have a human nature. I know that we still have a corrupt nature, but we have a divine nature. The Bible tells us that we are created in Christ Jesus. The new man is created after righteousness and true holiness. The new man, that is the new nature. Now, I've heard people argue, what part of man is born of God? What part of man is quickened? Well, you know, it's not the whole man, but I believe the whole man is affected. But it's the inner man. It's the man. It's the nature in us that has been made clean. It's the inner man that has been made right with God. We are right with God through and by the eternal Spirit that has lifted us up into spiritual life. Now, spiritual life is eternal life, isn't it? You say, well, I'm not in heaven yet. No, we're not in heaven yet. But we still, if we have spiritual life, we have eternal life, don't we? We have eternal life. We have relationship with God the Father and our Lord Jesus by His Spirit. The Spirit of Christ in us and our spirit that is made alive. And it changes us. Everything that we do in the spiritual realm are that we have the ability to do is because of what God has done in us. Now, we should be giving thanks. I try to thank God every day in my weak way that He took this sinner, He took this boy, and He made him new. He made me new. A new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that I still have a human nature. And I have a human corruption, you do too. I've had people to tell me since they got saved, they quit sinning. Well, I told some of them, you just did. You just sinned because you lied. Well, there is a truth that when we are born of God, that we cannot sin in that sense. That is, the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, is clean. I mean, when God did a work in us, it was a perfect work. It was complete. It's pure. And so, therefore, we are on a higher plane. Spiritual life is better than natural life. But He took a life that was in nature and He made us spiritual. That's why that when we come together this morning, that we can sing. And I think in our singing we're giving thanks, aren't we? In our praying we're giving thanks. In our walk we should give thanks. We should give thanks to God every day that He has made us what we are and who we are in Jesus Christ. That we are new creatures, that we are headed to heaven, and nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing's going to thwart our destiny this morning. Nothing in this world can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, no creature can separate himself that is loved of God from the love of God. No creature, no power here in this world. Satan cannot separate us. Death cannot separate us. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Death cannot separate us. Now death will separate us from our family, separate us from this world. That's the end of our journey here. But it's not going to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. What happens when we die? Our spirit or our soul is taken into the presence of God. Our body is laid to rest. But we're asleep in Jesus, aren't we? But He's going to take body, soul, and spirit. That's the great translation there. We're waiting for a great translation. Won't it be wonderful that when He brings our very spirit, our very soul back, when Jesus comes and reunites it and raises our body, reunites us and makes us in the image of Jesus Christ. And if we're alive, we'll be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll be taken up to be with Him in the clouds, to live forever with the Lord. That's the last day. The last day is approaching. I don't know when it is, and you don't either. And nobody else knows. But we know it is coming. We know that there is a last day. And that day is a glorious day. Now, we can enjoy that right now, can't we? Giving thanks unto the Father. We can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have that hope in us. That hope is the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, that entereth into that within the veil, where the forerunner hath for us entered into heaven itself. And if He is the forerunner, there's going to be those that are going to be in heaven with Him. He's the forerunner. And we're going to be with Him and be there forever and ever and ever. I'll tell you, that's rejoicing. Now we should give thanks unto the Father that Jesus put all of our guilt away. Jesus loved us so much that He went to Calvary, and He was not a failure upon the cross. He died for His people, and He wiped our sins away. He washed us in His own blood. We should thank Jesus every day. Thank Thee, Lord, for making me a new person. Giving thanks. Oh, we should be thankful. You know, God's people have become so lazy of giving thanks. I know, I admit it. I'm lazy sometime of giving thanks unto the Father, which has done this work for me in my heart and reserved for me a better place. Yeah, we should give thanks. Give Him thanks. Bow before Him and thank Him humbly that He's made me. He took this sinner vain and wild and made me as a little child. May God bless us to give thanks unto the Lord.